episode number 34, Keeping Your Kids' Attention with David Laughlin. Here we go, Tribe.
This is the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids' worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids' ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm super excited about today's edition of the podcast. We're going to be talking about how we keep kids' attention in a crazy world. Keeping a child's attention in today's world is so challenging. So much stuff is coming at them. I want to encourage you, don't miss this edition, especially of the Kidman Tribe Podcast, where we're going to give you some practical ideas and tips on how to keep the attention of kids in your ministry. I'm excited to welcome David Laughlin. David and Tisha Laughlin are internationally recognized illusionists. They've entertained and inspired audiences all over the world through their unique blend of both classic and cutting-edge illusions. Their programs have been featured at the NCAA Final Four, on TV, at IndoFest in Indonesia, and at conferences and conventions all over the world. The Laughlins have performed at a wide range of venues, from churches with a regular attendance of 25,000 to churches of under 100. You're going to be so challenged. David has also shared his expertise and illusions on TEDx, on the TEDx stage. And who knows, he may even make something disappear today. Dave's a great friend, and I've asked him to speak to us and give us some great practical ways that we can keep our kids' attention during our Sunday morning services and really our kids' ministry experiences. You're not going to want to miss this. We're going to be back with David here in just a moment. Don't miss a single moment of the Kidman Tribe Podcast today. We're so glad you're here.
Hey friends, Carl Barnhill here. If you are a kids' ministry leader and you need some quick visuals for your kids' services, I'd love for you to check out our kids' media library at 1230kids.com. We have over 10,000 pieces of media content that you can download either a la carte or through our annual subscription. We have 10 product lines of visuals, including games, mini movies and Bible story videos, themed packs, countdowns, worship videos, social media content, and more. You can start downloading today at 1230kids.com/go for Go Unlimited. That's 1230kids.com/go.
Hello, welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble, and I'm so excited to have my friend David Laughlin on today, who is one of the best entertainers in the kids ministry space. And I think even in general, does incredible stuff. David, welcome to the Kidman Tribe.
Thanks, Jason. It is awesome to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Definitely, man. We've been friends for a long time, been able to watch, like, man, what God has done in your guys' ministry. Talk to me about what's going on. What do you guys do? I want our listeners to hear that and to really dig in.
You got it. Well, my wife and I have four kids. Our boys are 14, 12, and 9. Yeah, you're in the four-kid club.
Yes.
So 14, 12, 9, and our daughter is 7.
Wow.
And we really, I guess, as a full-time living, so to speak, we are illusionists who mainly work with churches. And so we crisscross the country doing church events. I also do fundraisers for nonprofits and sometimes go to a church and hit some schools along the way. In fact, we're coming out there to Medford and doing that, going to some schools and then doing some churches here in a month. We're just 10 days away, actually 8 days now, from loading up our bus, pulling our trailer and being gone from our home for about 3.5 months.
Wow.
Just serving alongside churches. And then the rest of the year, it's kind of in and out different places, but that's the main thing. And, you know, it's just one step at a time at whatever God's doing, right?
Definitely. So what's it like being on the road for 3.5 months at one time? What's that? How does
you
that
know what?
Work?
We first went, this kind of goes back to COVID where everything shut down. And of course, our living is get people together in large groups. And so all of our events stopped. We have Airbnb'd our house when we go on the road for a long time since 2017.
Wow.
So in 2020, that's actually how we got by. We just rented out our house.
Nice.
Stayed with family or camped. And when we realized, okay, this isn't going to be the two-week turnaround a lot of people thought it was, then it led us to say, well, hey, what if we got a different vehicle to make it easier to travel in? And in the meantime, we'll keep renting out our house until things build back up. And we thought we will be sick of this. And it's the opposite. When we first were in there 2021, we were full-time from May through November.
Wow.
And when it was time to go home, we just, all of us, including our four kids, were like, I don't really want to. Because you minimize like anything that's not important. You don't buy it. You don't have it. You only have what's important.
Yeah.
We, you know, could clean the house, so to speak, our bus in 10 or 15 minutes. And so we just had so much intentional time together as a family. And we, you know, we love to be outside. So it's not like we're crammed inside. We're always visiting a national park or staying a couple extra days here. We'll go to Crater Lake when we're there in Oregon.
Nice.
So we're beautiful finding place. Adventures. Yeah. So between a ministry, of course, but family time and those adventures, for our family, it works and we love it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I travel a lot too, and it's like, I don't live in a bus, but it gets in your blood, right? Like you love to just adventure and see things. And
yes. So
for kids ministry leaders who are listening, get some travel underneath your feet. I mean, it's so good to see the world and take the adventure. And I love the family and the intentional time that you guys, sometimes in ministry, we don't get that too. We're running so busy and crazy. And so what are you passionate about? I'd love to hear kind of like what gets you up in the morning.
You know, I think it's exactly that. And it's, you know, it's not always in a bus. Like, for example, this week, just yesterday, I flew home from Mississippi. So it was just me out on the road. And then Saturday morning, I was in Louisiana doing an event for 350 kids from different churches. And then Sunday night, I did an event that was at a church, and a church with a pastor, a senior pastor I'd worked with in the past when he was in Alabama, but just really kind of trying to get their church off the ground and just struggling to do that.
Yeah.
And so they did this event, and, you know, I had, you know, 500-600 people show up.
Wow.
And for them, I mean, their normal Sunday morning is about 400 to 500.
Okay.
So they thought, wow, okay, well, we reached, you know, it was new people. And, you know, so that was a totally different event, but that's what gets me excited when I get to come alongside somebody in ministry and help them reach new people, see people start coming to their church that normally wouldn't be there, see families get connected, see people that have never stepped in the door of a church come because they hear that I'm going to do some crazy things or cut my wife in half. And in the process, they hear the gospel and they connect with Christians and they say, well, wait a minute, I guess these people aren't as strange as I thought they were. And so that's it. When I just see people, you know, get engaged with the church and, of course, get to know who Jesus is, that excites me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the travel can be hard and difficult. It's not all wonderful.
Right.
But you try to keep the right perspective and, you know, focus on those things that are wonderful.
Totally. Yeah. Especially with air travel today, it can be really, it can be a challenge, but you just keep moving and that's kind of how it happens. So one of the things that you guys do a lot is you minister to kids, but you also entertain kids. You keep their attention. And that's one of the things I wanted to dig into today is I wanted to get some of your thoughts of how do we keep our kids' attention today in kids ministry. Our goal on the Kidman Tribe podcast is to always help kids leaders do their experiences better, their Sunday morning or whenever they have kids. And love to hear just some thoughts of what your faith, what you see today, that might even be different than 3 years ago. Like how do we keep our kids' attention when we're in ministry?
Absolutely. You know, John Mark Comer has a book. It's been around for a couple of years, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And he talks about just our attention span. And I think it says the average person's attention span is now 8 seconds.
Wow.
I'd say for goldfish, it's 9 seconds. So we are losing to goldfish at this point, right? And so that is a reality. And so to me, there's a couple of things. And I actually love to teach and do workshops on this.
Yeah.
Because I think it's not something that only applies to big church or small church, but everything. In fact, you know, even when I talk with I've actually started coaching teachers or speakers who are going to do TED Talks or be in churches. And I feel like I'm always sharing the same format.
Yep.
And so for ministry leaders specifically, I would just be intentional. I always have an outline of number one, what's happening in the room before the service starts.
Yeah.
So when kids are greeted at the front door, are they greeted at the front door with a smile that makes them feel like, oh, this is going to be fun. I want to create a positive expectation that says from the moment they walk in the door, I want to listen. I want to see what this is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get checked in 15 minutes before service starts. Are they just sitting there? Are there volunteers actively engaged with them? Is there something to do? When the service starts, I want to start with something fast. I don't start with, okay, everybody gather around. before we start, here's the rules. Like, no. I want everybody on your feet. We're going to sing this song, get them engaged. And then I might share the rules and do an introduction, you know, have that main content, have a closing thing. So, you know, that's more than we could get into in our time, but I would say everybody have those intentional touch points. What do people experience when they come in? What are you doing to constantly keep them engaged? And for me personally, nothing is ever longer than 7 minutes.
Yes.
And I might teach longer than that. And when it's 7 minutes, it typically means that 7 minutes is 0 seconds. I'm walking out into the audience, getting a volunteer or two, bringing them up on stage. That's 45 seconds.
Right.
And then something happening. And then by the time they're back in their seat. So that doesn't mean I never teach for more than 5 minutes, but it's like, I might do a game that illustrates something or a game that just gets their attention. And then it might be a lesson. Then it might be the Bible verse. And then we might transition to something different. So it's always changing the pace. So they keep hearing that message over and over again, but I'm never just going to try to ask them to sit for 25 minutes and be quiet.
It won't happen.
Yeah. Just like adults, you know, they're falling asleep. You know, kids are just like, I think more likely to let you know I'm not engaged anymore.
Totally. And what you're talking about is really like, if you have a lot of discipline issues in your kids' ministry, probably has to do with pacing. Probably you're not keeping their attention. And if you keep that moving, I mean, I love that. When I was a children's pastor, we kept everything at 5 minutes, maybe a little bit longer for the message, exactly what you're saying. Like it moves so fast, they didn't have time to get into trouble. And so I think that's one of the keys. If you're having a lot of discipline issues in your kids' ministry, I would look at your format because chances are you're not keeping them engaged. So when you look at a crowd, because you're in front of crowds all the time, what are some of the key things that you know, okay, they're engaged and not only just engaged to follow a rule, but they're really interested, if that makes sense. Like the engagement is there. You see it. What are some of the things you look for in a crowd?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you're looking just, are people making eye contact?
Yep.
Are they paying attention? And for me, I do several things where I get as many people, like the whole audience, like I'll do something where like, hey, everybody's going to participate in this. Everybody put your hands out and do this with me. I can just kind of see like, okay, how many of them are doing that? Or with kids, I'm always careful. You know, I know that I can turn the volume up really easily and get them out of control. So at the start, if I say, hey, I need a volunteer, I'm going to be really intentional to say, I'm looking for somebody sitting all the way down in their seat with their hand raised. And I'm actually physically mimicking what I want them to do. And so I'm trying to always, you know, what am I saying, but also doing that's showing them this is how to do this. And for me, I want to watch. And so it really is like, you can always tell I have a bit of ADD. And so it's hard for me if somebody's not listening.
Yeah.
You know, I get distracted by that. And so to me, it's just, do I have their eyes? Do I have their ears? And if I don't, I got to figure out. To me, it's about a couple of things. It's creating interest and retaining interest.
Yes.
And so you can do something that creates a level of interest that people say, I want to listen to this. But then you got to fight to retain that interest over and over and over again.
Totally.
And so, yeah, to me, it's just actually paying attention to what they're doing. And are they engaged? And if it's just they're only engaged because they have a volunteer constantly telling them, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention.
Right, exactly.
Then I need to work on making them actually want to pay attention.
Totally. Well, and I think the importance of just hitting on one point, like really driving that one point home all during your message, because the human brain, it takes time to process. Like there has to be this processing moment. So I think if you're moving so fast and you have multiple points, then especially that happens with adults too. I think you start to lose your crowd because they're like, whoa, my brain's just overwhelmed. And
right.
You know, I think that one point, talk to me about bringing some energy into the room. Like what? Because I think like it's our job as leaders to bring that energy, the high energy into the room. And I think that's engaging too.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's really key for me with this, and obviously with what I do, I have to take a different approach. So for me, within my program, my format, when I come on stage, there's something happening right away. Like in my live shows that are for families, the first 3 minutes, like I don't even talk. It's just high energy music and things are appearing and disappearing. So everybody's paying attention and watching. Now, when it comes to, I've been on staff as a kids pastor in the past before. And one of the things that was so important to me is I make sure my leaders know you have to be extremely engaged.
Yes.
If I'm doing a song with motions, do the motions. And if it's like, you know, if the motion is this, you got to be doing this. Like you
exactly.
Gotta be big as you can. If you're, if the kids are watching your volunteers disengaged, like, I've heard a lot of parents' feelings when I was a kids pastor because they'd wandered and, you know, want to stand in the back of the room, you know, talking or whatever, and just tell them like, hey guys, you can't do that here. Like the, you know, we have, this is just like a service for our kids. So if you want to volunteer and be actively engaged and learn these songs, great. But if you want to just chat, then you're going to have to go out in the lobby and do that. Yep. And so to me, that's a big thing that we miss as ministry leaders. We're not comfortable telling other adults and other volunteers like, hey, when we sing this song, I need you on your feet engaged.
Yep.
If there is something on stage that is funny or you think is supposed to be funny, try to laugh at it. You know, the more these volunteers are engaged, then I think the more kids see that and reflect that. And so I think that's a big thing that anybody can do is make sure your volunteers know, hey, I'm expecting you to set the tone and the example of what everybody else in the audience should be doing.
Totally. Well, and it goes back to that whole topic of kids, it's better caught than taught. So they're watching. I mean, like, watch. They watch how you worship as leaders. They watch how you're engaged. I mean, so to your point, like, if your leaders are not engaged, your kids are not going to be engaged. And I think that, like, you really do. That's such a key point. Talk to me, too, about the importance of having fun. Because I think fun is a great way to get in the door to engage. You know, if it's just, oh, come on, you're going to follow the rules and bless God, we're at church. And, you know, I mean, I think there's got to be something to be known that, and it's fun to come to church. Like, I love to come.
Absolutely. Yeah. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Like, this should be a joyful experience to be in the Lord.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's what our church experience is. And so to me, the way I often look at this is, you know, Michael Jordan, everybody probably knows who Michael Jordan was. You know, people say maybe the greatest basketball player of all time. He had all sorts of things that he endorsed. One of them was Ballpark Frank hot dogs. Now, does anybody in their right mind think he became an excellent basketball player because he ate hot dogs?
Right.
It simply doesn't make sense.
Right.
But why would a company that sells a product that we probably think is not really a health-related product
right.
find this, you know, incredibly fit, dynamic athlete to endorse that product? And it simply is people like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Because they like Michael Jordan, they will do what he says. And so they like watching him. And so they'll listen to him. It is a fact. And that is why you see these shoe companies pay these athletes millions of dollars. Yep. That's why you see somebody like Marshawn Lynch, you're up in the Pacific Northwest, get paid millions of dollars to endorse Skittles.
Right.
That didn't make him a great football player. So the point is, people like them, and so they listen to them.
Yeah, and if people influencers.
People like the experience they're having. For kids, that means I'm having fun. I like this. Then they're going to be much more likely to listen to you when you have something to share. They're going to be much more likely to listen to, like you were said, you know, that one bottom line or main point or big idea of the day. They're going to pay attention. And so I think if you're creating fun, then kids are going to laugh and have a great time and not wait to go to church. And they're going to say, man, I really like Pastor Jason. He's so fun. And then they're also going to love what it is that you have to say and be more likely to engage with that. So that's why I think fun in a great environment that people like is so important.
It's true. It's, you know, another great example of that is McDonald's. Their food is terrible, like, for the most part. So hopefully I didn't offend anybody when I just said that. But I mean, every once in a while you have like a craving for a cheeseburger or whatever. But what they do so well is they get kids hooked. And like, literally, I remember our kids being like 4 years old. We'd drive by, they're like, we want to go to McDonald's, play in the playland, get the toys, you know, and the adults go every single time because their kids have such a great experience. The food's not great. Like, what adult is going to maybe choose to go to McDonald's over another place? But if their kids, that's what I wanted them to do and say about our church. Like, man, they get their parents up on Sunday morning. Like, we can't miss it. We have to be at Hope City, or we have to be at our church, or we have to be, you know, whatever. And I think that's such a big key.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
What do you think is one big issue that you see across the country, or that's really coming against us, that leaders are struggling with?
You know, it's really interesting because there's one issue that I hear over and over again in a negative way.
Okay.
But then I also hear some churches that are sharing the opposite. And I would say at that right now, it's how do we get families reconnected to church post-COVID?
Yes.
That so many families got into the groove of other activities, not going to church, watching church online, camping on the weekends, whatever it might be. You know, I think every place here in Colorado in the winter, everybody wants to ski on the weekends. In the summer, right. Everybody wants to camp on the weekends. Yeah. No matter where I go, there's a lake nearby or there's something nearby or kids sports that keeps people away. Totally. And so that's, I think, the thing that I'm hearing over and over again is how do we get people to re-engage? Yeah. But simultaneously, there's some churches that are like, we have grown 150% since COVID.
Yeah.
And so I've always tried to say, well, okay, what have you guys done? You know, what has made that be, you know, such a great experience for people that's keeping them actually, you know, keeping people coming to your church? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That not every church is saying we're still down 30% and there's nothing we can do about it.
What do you think's the answer?
I think there's a couple of things. Number one is, you know, from what I've heard from talking to people is don't guilt people. Right. You know, there's a lot of churches that are frustrated that people aren't back. And they're kind of playing the guilt card and saying, hey, man, if you're still watching online, you are missing out. Right. That is not what God made you to do. God made you for community. You need to get yourself back in the church. That's true. But I think like the guilt making you feel guilty about it isn't making people say, yeah, I want to go to a place where I feel scolded. Nobody wants to do that.
No.
And so I think that you have to encourage them. You know, offer them an experience that they cannot get online, right? Like, hey, man, we are so glad, like if they're watching online or whatever, we are so glad to see that you guys are here today. We get to share in the Lord's Supper together. We get to worship together. We get to connect with other people, you know, whatever that might be. So I think you have to kind of really refocus on that experience because people are more lonely than ever. And when they see like, I get to actually reconnect with people, that is huge.
Yes.
A few other things like, you know, the personal connection, encouraging people to reach out directly to people and say, hey, man, you know, just want to kind of see where you're at. Like we'd love to see you back in church. And I know for a lot of people, they haven't been quite ready to come back. But, you know, as soon as you're ready, we'd love to have you. I think that's big. And so I doing intentional things.
Right.
And like I was saying this past weekend, it's not just have me come in. You know, that's, I think, a great idea. But whether it's a community picnic or just a hangout or something that you're doing as a church to just, hey guys, we're just going to bring you all back in and get connected. So
totally. Well, and I think you bring up the point and when I've looked at this across, you know, multiple churches, my feeling is what we're seeing is those families were not connected to begin with. And so connection is one of the big pieces that I think we have to build on is how do we keep people connected? Because going to church on Sunday morning is not just, I mean, that's not enough. And so like in our life groups, even life groups for kids, I mean, like there's some ideas on, okay, we need to get reconnected with our people and really look, because one of the things that you see across our society is people are so lonely. Like they can be doing all kinds of activities, but they're so lonely. And that's one of the things the church can really step up and say, hey, we want to be connected to you. We want to. The other thing we do is we rebroadcast our service. So we don't show our service until 5 p.m. So if you're not there, like Sunday morning, you can't watch it concurrently. Like we said, if you want to see it, you can't. If you want to come get the live experience, come do it. And then at 5 p.m., we're going to rebroadcast for anybody that missed it or whatever. And we found that interesting too, right? You know, because people don't want to miss out on the live. But I think that's the question. If the atmosphere is so great and people are so engaged, I don't think they'll be missing out. You know, I think they'll come.
Right.
And that's not always the case. I mean, it's not always a simple, easy answer, but I think that is one of the big keys. So as we kind of wrap up, where do people find you? Talk to me about how people book you. Like, guys, you want to have David and Tisha at your church. They're incredible. Or your events or your schools. Talk to us about a little bit about that. And what do the schools look like? So if a children's pastor is like, hey, I'd love to bring them in for a school and our church. Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Jason, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, the easiest way to find us is our website, davidandtisha.com. So DAVIDANDTEESHA kidmintribe.com, and you can fill out a form and things like that. We'd love to come there. We do all sorts of things, from big illusion shows where we can cut your pastor in half, to things where I might come in on my own that, you know, can work well for a small audience, large audience. I love working with schools, volunteer appreciation banquets, family events, whatever it might be. For the school specifically, what that usually looks like is there's one of two ways. You know, sometimes a school, most schools have to have a certain number of assemblies or things like that, or at least it looks good for them. And sometimes they have a budget set aside where if you approach them and say, hey, we have this guy coming in. And obviously when I go into schools, I'm just talking about character development. Maybe it's respect or anti-bullying or how to best prepare for a test, whatever it might be. And so I'm doing that in a fun, engaging way with tricks and illusions. And so yeah, sometimes the school will say, hey, yeah, we'd love to do that. And we have a budget to pay for it. Sometimes the church will say, hey, we want to bless this to you. And it helps the church form a connection with the school. We want to just make sure David gets there. And so same thing. But depending on the school, we always are respectful ahead of time to ask them, like, hey, you know, tomorrow night, we're at the church right up the road that kind of sponsored this or made this happen. Are you okay with us giving every kid a ticket to come to that event? And it might be a free event, but a ticket's just a fun reminder. Every kid, like, I have a ticket for this event.
Right, right.
Or are you okay us mentioning it? Are you okay us talking about it? Most schools are like, yeah, you can totally do that. And it's just simply saying, hey, we're so glad, you know, hope you guys had a great time. I want to invite you to come back tomorrow night at whatever church it might be, where my whole family is going to be with me. You're going to see people get cut in half. My two boys do a Houdini escape, and you get to be there to see that. And it's totally free. It's free for you. And bring your parents, bring your family, bring your friends. Doors open at 6:00. Be there on time and get a good seat because it's free. And so usually the schools are used for two things. One, to kind of help promote the event. But second, to help form goodwill between the church and the school.
Yeah.
You know, often we're sharing similar messages, right? Of how to treat each other and how to be kind and how to be loving. Obviously, in the church, we're sharing that really our foundation is Christ. And obviously more than that, how he is our savior. But in the churches, you know, some of the things that we teach about, right? I think it's Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death.
Yes.
Schools, we're teaching the same thing. Like, how are you talking to people? I just can't use the scripture reference.
Yeah, you just don't have the reference.
Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, some of those same things that helps connect people and bring them in.
Yeah, and it is powerful. I mean, we did a program called Character Connects a couple of years back where it really dug into character issues in schools. And we talked to a superintendent. He's like, well, we can't have any Bible. And we said, okay, so what kind of principles do you want us to talk about? He goes, well, how about doing to others as you'd have them do to you? We're like, great, we're in. Like,
right.
We just don't have to give the address, but it's perfect.
Exactly.
So, you know, what a great way to connect with schools. Man, I encourage you as kids leaders, think out of the box and don't let resources hold you back. If God calls you to do something, David and Tisha are incredible. I encourage you to bring them in. Love to have their family with you guys in your church. I think that you would love them also. And so, again, it's davidandtisha.com. Davidandtisha.com. Do you have any parting words that you'd like to leave with our leaders today?
You know, the last thing I would do is I just really want to encourage you, kind of going back to what we said, is know that your parents, your volunteers, potential volunteers are really desperate for connection.
Yeah.
That, you know, so many people, you know, they volunteer because they're wanting to get connected. My wife and a friend are trying to form an after church picnic just to get to know the other moms and their kids.
Wow. Yeah.
And understand, like, people really need connection right now. And so many of us are checking a box, showing up at church and leaving, but they want more than that. And so really think about how you do that. And it can lead to helping your volunteer issues and all those kind of things. So yeah, we live in a world that needs it. So I think we as a church should create those chances to really connect with people.
I agree. Well, thank you so much. Will you pray for our leaders today before we close up?
I would love to. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah.
God, I thank you so much just for this chance to connect with people all over the world, really.
Yeah.
Thank you for the good ways that we can use technology like this. And God, I know that everybody who might hear this or watch this probably comes from a different situation, different denomination, different church size. And so I pray that every single leader who watches this could take something away that they could apply in their life, in their ministry, in their church, and just begin to see your fruit take forth, go forth. And God, that they would experience your joy, that it wouldn't just be fun for the kids or the other people that we serve, but it would be fun for us to serve you, that our hearts would be overjoyed with it, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Hey, and we'll be praying for you this summer out on the road. Looking forward to seeing you here in Oregon, and hopefully it's a great summer. Again, get a hold of David and Tisha. One thing I was going to ask you, do you still have illusions on your website? So if like people can buy them from you, like
we do.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll go on a link. There's a link on our store that takes you to another site that has more of the, you know, it's more of a commerce type store.
Okay.
Yeah. You can go there and specifically find things, watch a video and say like, oh, can I do that? Or how can I use that? So yeah, it's all there still.
Great. Great. Hey, well, thank you so much, David. Man, take what you've learned today, kids leaders. And we just pray that it revolutionizes how you do kids ministry and that connection and bringing families back in. Thank you again. Until next time, we'll see you on the Kidman Tribe podcast. God bless you. Go and do incredible work in your area of ministry. Thanks so much.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
David, thank you so much for all of your insight. Do your best to keep your kids' attention. Man, there's some great tips and tools. It's so important that we do. Hey, I ask you this every week, but whatever your platform is that you're watching or you're listening to the podcast, will you subscribe to it? Subscribe to the official Kidman Tribe channel. You can just search it on your podcast to find us. Then once you do, share it with everybody you know. Leave a great review, leave some comments. We'd love to hear from you. Share it with every Kidman leader that you know, even in your church. It's a great opportunity. You can also find us online at thekidmantribe.com, which is our online home. We have a bi-weekly blog that when we're not releasing the podcast, we have that blog. Great training tools, great tips and topics from some of the greatest kid ministry leaders and writers around. There's also some great Kidman swag that you can find. Hey, listen, also there's a great place you can leave your thoughts, your ideas on the Kidman Tribe podcast. You can leave it at thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. Man, love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, what you'd like us to be talking about. One of the greatest ministry needs in our community today, really community as a large, is having ministry to families with children who have special needs. What should a church be doing to reach this great need? In 2 weeks, I'm excited to welcome Marie Cuck from Nathaniel's Hope onto the podcast. You're gonna love Marie and the great insight she brings to this important ministry need. Marie Cuck is an ordained minister and has previously served more than 10 years in youth ministry with churches in Chicago, Minneapolis, and Orlando. She's now the executive director of Nathaniel's Hope. She oversees the full-time ministry staff and hundreds of volunteers from throughout the country. Marie is passionately an advocate and trains churches on how to practically welcome and include those with disability to their congregations. She's the former co-host of Today's Family TV show and is taught in the Department of Communications at North Central University. She speaks to audiences throughout the country and is affectionately known as a mom on a mission. Please join us for this very important edition of the Kidman Tribe podcast. That's in 2 weeks. Don't miss it. You're loved. You're appreciated. What you're doing is changing lives for eternity. I'm your biggest fan and I'm cheering you on always. You are my heroes. Go get them, Tribe. We'll see you in a couple weeks here on the Kidman Tribe podcast.
The Kidman Tribe podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.